Good evening. This is Mimi Poser at the Guggenheim. In 1961, the great American artist Willem de Kooning began the move from his studio in New York City to the Springs in East Hampton. Prior to then, he had summered occasionally in the Hamptons, but in 61 he bought a house across the street from where his friend Jackson Pollock is buried. He has lived in the Springs since then. The current exhibition at the Guggenheim, called Willem de Kooning in East Hampton, focuses on the portions of his work executed since the move. It reflects the changes in his work brought about in large part by his response to the ambiance of his rural environment. With us this evening to discuss de Kooning and his art is Guggenheim curator Linda Shearer, who aided in the preparation of this exhibition. Good evening and welcome, Linda. I think I ought to preface this by quoting from Thomas Hess, the former art critic for New York Magazine, who says, "De Kooning's new paintings have a freedom and energy which would be astonishing in a man of 30. De Kooning will be 74 next April." I think that's quite astonishing. I would like to begin by talking about the changes in de Kooning's work.
Well, I think it's a fascinating subject that in this particular show, as you said, that we're concentrating on the work that he's executed since he moved to East Hampton. At one of the lectures given in conjunction with this exhibition, Harold Rosenberg made a marvelous statement that has stayed with me, which was, one's art does not change when you change your address, which I thought was wonderful, because one does tend to overemphasize the change that is the radical change that's taken place. Well, there has been a change, but it hasn't been radical. The work that he's doing now and the work that since the early 60s, since he moved out there, is very closely related and connected to his earlier work. Many of the themes have been the same: women, landscapes, abstraction, and an integration of these forms. But there is a difference. Partly, I think one senses in the mood of many of the paintings. There's a greater tranquility in some of them. The women are not the ferocious women of the 50s. They are much more girly-like. They're much softer. They're much gentler. And so the theme of the women, as well as the theme of the landscapes, are gentler all the way around. And yet, but the mood equally varies in his recent work. I mean, there are violent paintings that he's painting now, but the quality of the light, I think, is maybe the greatest significance. There's a softness, there's a vibrancy, there's a luminosity to the light that one can relate to the light of East Hampton and to the seashore and to the countryside. That's very different from the harsh light of New York City.
Well, I think that not contradict, but perhaps change a little bit the thought. I think that one's art may not change when one changes address. However, one is influenced by surroundings, and if you are in a pastoral setting, you may react the opposite way. It may make you terribly nervous, or you may be influenced by it. It may have a calming influence, or what you're seeing around you, you know, the eyes take in and it comes out.
Very much so.
What about the brushstroke and the color?
Well, I think I think what's fascinating, I'm not quite answering your question, but to me a fascinating aspect of a show like this is, okay, what is de Kooning known as? He's known as an abstract expressionist. Well, are these paintings abstract expressionist paintings? And by that, I mean, is the technique the same? Is the effect, is the feeling, is the experience of these paintings the same as looking at his abstract expressionist work?
Well, what I meant about the brushstroke is that you began this by saying, what is he known for? Mm-hmm. The abstract expressionist. And his brushstroke, certainly in the earlier paintings, was very, very agitated and rough. In these paintings, the line is more sweeping and it's broader.
But still, there is very much that gestural quality, that sense of the activity of the brushstroke is paramount in these paintings, and the sensitivity and the sense of necessity, in a way, with which the areas of paint are located and placed together is one of tremendous intensity and vibrancy. But I think it's it's very similar in that way, although the look is a different look.
Well, what about the color?
Well, the color, as I pointed out earlier, is, again, it's sweeter to a certain extent. It's not as raucous. There's almost a greater range in certain ways. Certainly in terms of, his well-known paintings of the late 40s, the black and white abstractions, which were very stark and black and white, we don't see work like that today, except the black and white of his drawings. So color, I think, is gaining in importance in many ways for de Kooning. And I don't know if this is the appropriate spot, but I think maybe it is that I wanted to read you this quote that was from an interview conducted by Harold Rosenberg in 1972, talking about, you know, how did this new environment affect the work? And it does touch on the color, which I think is very interesting. So this is what de Kooning said in 72. I even carried it to the extent that when I came here, I made the color of sand, a big pot of paint that was the color of sand, as if I picked up sand and mixed it. And the gray-green grass, the beach grass, and the ocean was all kind of steely gray most of the time. When the light hits the ocean, there is a kind of gray light on the water, indescribable tones almost. I started working with them and insisted that they would give me the kind of light I wanted. One was lighting up the grass. That became that kind of green. One was lighting up the water. That became that gray. Then I got a few more colors, because something might be there, or a rowboat, or something happening. I did very well with that. I got into painting in the atmosphere I wanted to be in. It was like the reflection of light. I reflected upon the reflections on the water, like the fishermen do. They stand there fishing. They seldom catch any fish, but they like to be by themselves for an hour. I do that almost every day. So I think that gives you a sense of really, in a way, the very direct kind of connection between what he was seeing and his real, as he says very explicitly, his desire to express that in the paintings.
Well, the word light is repeated so often. I think that's the prime element that one gets from reading that.
And this is, did it interrupt? I mean, the kind of luminosity that one sees in these most recent paintings. And I think we should point out here that when he first moved out to East Hampton in permanently in 63, as you pointed out, he started again painting women. And he did a number of paintings of women. And this was through the 60s. The early 70s, he didn't do that much painting and concentrated more specifically on his sculpture.
Well, I'd like to touch on that a little bit later.
And I'm just giving a little sense of the chronology of this 15-year period. And then around 75, he started what one could very loosely call a new series of painting that he is still doing today. And by series, I don't mean to imply it's a conscious kind of series, but they are related in a way, in that they're not, for instance, paintings of women. And they represent, I think, as the late work of a modern master, a kind of, you know, real culmination of a synthesis, really, of all that's come before. And this, the quality of the light that's coming through, the luminosity of these paintings, is remarkable.
On the same subject, de Kooning only paints during the day, doesn't he, or in bright light?
Well, I don't know about that for sure. I can't say, but I do know that how addicted he is to light, by knowing of his studio, which there are photographs of it in the catalog, which is a remarkable kind of studio with this high ceilings and incredibly spacious.
Didn't he supervise the building of that?
Yes,
studio?
Very much so, and people have likened it to a big boat, you know, and it's the big windows, so that the outside is, you know, very close to being on the inside, and
yes.
So there's that real closeness between the environment, you know, the outside, the countryside, and his painting and studio environment.
Well, I'm fairly certain that I did read he only paints by daylight. He doesn't use artificial light. And I think that looking at it, that becomes fairly apparent. Diane Waldman, in her catalog essay, talks about de Kooning the Expressionist becoming de Kooning the Impressionist. Now, we touched on that, but I would like you to expand on that.
Well, I think that's... again, it's, you know, I think when you're talking of almost a maverick in a way, the way de Kooning is, it's hard to give him labels. But yes, very, I think that's, one can see that. And just even within the context of this show, he certainly was associated with the abstract expressionists, which is such a loose term for such a wide range of styles in many ways. But certainly his work for, say, from the 50s, for instance, the women from the 50s, are incredibly expressionistic. They're sort of torturously, as we said, ferocious women, for instance, and very expressive of the particular mood that they're conveying. The recent work, the paintings I'm talking about, from 1975 up to the paintings that he's painting today, are much more implicit in that way. There is much more of an impressionistic quality to them. I know for myself, and other people had this reaction, that as you walk into the ground floor, the main floor of the museum, and there are four of his paintings along one wall, your sense is almost of Monet's water lilies, in a way, that you sense the quality of water, that fluid kind of brushwork, the quality of light, the natural sources. And yes, there is an impressionist kind of quality, and you don't see figures explicitly. Now, this is something he's always been interested in, concerned with, is that integration and that synthesis of the figure within its environment. But it's not as explicit now, although you can very often catch parts of a body, even in this work now. But I think there, you know, it's much more implicit now.
Well, somebody pointed out to me that in the painting that is also the poster of the show and the cover of the catalog, that there's a sailboat sitting right in the middle of the water.
Oh,
and
right.
You know, if you look at it, you can never see the painting again without seeing a sailboat and seeing the water.
Well, he's, as I said, I use the word sort of maverick in a way with him. I mean, he's someone who is constantly surprised us. I think he's and the art world and his fellow artists. I mean, he's never wanted to be pigeonholed, and many and the best artists are always this way. They, you know, there's a great fear of suddenly being labeled and cubbyholed and pigeonholed into a movement, into a style.
But nobody wants to be defined in terms of 10 other people.
Exactly, exactly. But
we all feel we're individuals,
and particularly artists feel that way too. But certainly with de Kooning, he's constantly surprised us. And when everyone was doing, you know, hardcore abstractions in the late 40s, suddenly in the early 50s, he turns around and is doing these paintings of women.
He was one, I think we ought to explain to the audience, he was one of the few painters of that group, the abstract expressionists, who did choose to retain the human figure.
Yes, very much so. And I think, as you say, so that scene, the sailboat, there's a wonderful piece where you can catch in a sort of a peering out almost of it. This is, again, a recent painting. It's sort of tangle of pigment, an eye and half a face kind of. And so there are these remnants that are, I think, a very important part of his work that has run all the way through his career.
Well, it is marvelous when you look at these things, and it does, as you say, look like a jumble of pigment and light and airiness. And when you suddenly do find one of these elements, which is not apparent at all at the beginning.
Right.
I'd like to go back to the word expressionist, because in the catalog, de Kooning was compared to the German expressionists because of the satirical nature and the ferociousness of his view of women. But the author pointed out also that one of the qualities that has never been attributed to or assigned to the German expressionists is wit and humor, and that this is an overriding quality also
in
de Kooning's
work. Very
work.
Much so. I think, again, it in terms of his, it's more explicit in his earlier work and more implicit in the recent work. But I think he toys with us very definitely, and certainly from the women of, well, no, that's not, I mean, there are pictures in the exhibition, again, of these sort of girly type bathers, or I think what they're called, the clam diggers are the title. Well, they're funny. I mean, they are actively humorous paintings.
Well, they are. I think one of the other descriptions of them is whorish cuties.
Yes, yeah, and they do have that kind of, there's a tremendous amount of wit. And he's someone who for someone who was born in Holland, is Dutch by birth. He's been over here since 1926, and he is American. But he's very sensitive and attuned to popular culture and to the media. He watches television a lot. a couple of pictures in the paintings in the show. One is called Woman on a Sign. Well, there was a whole series he did of these women on a sign. Well, these are he's referring to billboards, and billboards that you see as you're driving along highways. A number of paintings are titled after Montauk, Amityville. These could either be attributed to highways or towns.
Places.
Yeah. Actual places. So he's very attuned to what's going on in the popular culture. One of his earlier pieces, again from the 50s, he cut out from a magazine the mouth from a camel ad. And this is one of a very well-known piece, and then collaged it onto a drawing
it's
of a woman.
Smiling, sort of toothy
yes,
mouth.
Yes. And he's one of his, he's always been enamored of Marilyn Monroe, apparently. And very, as I say, very sensitive to American popular culture.
I'd like to talk now about his sculpture. When and how did he begin making sculpture?
Well, he apparently never made any sculpture until 1969. And it was when he was in Italy and he ran into an old friend of his who had a foundry in Rome, I believe, who encouraged him to really kind of play around with it. And it started something, as I say, this was in 69. And it was something that really developed and grew for him and occupied much of the early 70s making sculpture. And he first started off working with very small little pieces, and which some of which are shown are in the exhibition, and then gradually developed to much larger pieces, I think just really under life size. And again, they relate to the environment. There's one incredibly powerful piece in the exhibition called A Clam Digger, and it's this man holding two clams, but the shells of the clam have become so integrated with his hand that they become his hands, and the agitation and the vitality and the energy that one senses and that is in his the application of paint onto the canvas is equally applied to the sculpture itself.
Well, the shapes are pummeled.
They're incredible. I mean, they're so kind of they are so expressive and incredibly powerful images that he's working within the sculpture.
Now, Robert Hughes, the art critic for Time magazine, has said that he feels that the nearest ancestor to de Kooning's sculpture is Rodin. How would you feel about that?
Well, I think it's important to remember that de Kooning is not a sculptor. He is a painter, first and foremost. Rodin was a sculptor. That was what he did. I think his sculptures are coming very much out of the tradition of sculpture in certain ways. I mean, he's obviously looked at, he knows his art history very well, and obviously the sculpture. I think you can see certain connections with Giacometti, for instance.
I was just going to say, everyone sees something, and
right.
makes his own comparison. Giacometti was the next one I was going to ask about, and Dubuffet.
And Dubuffet, in terms of the kind of primitive quality of the actual image, the sort of a reference to man or woman in their most primal kind of identity. But I think, rather than being a student or an artist of sculpture, I think it's much more directly related to him, to his whole evolution as a painter. And I think, as I say, he knows his art history. He's conscious of the sculptors that have come before, but I think he's really not looking to them consciously. I think he's really looking at, particularly at this point in his career, his confidence is at its peak, obviously, when you can tell that when you look at these paintings. And so he's looking to himself when he's making this work.
De Kooning is known as a superb draftsman. I'd like very quickly to ask you, what was his formal training?
Well, he had a very very rigid, strict formal training in Holland, and the works that I think there are some illustrated in the catalog from the 20s, for instance, and 30s, he has a remarkable quality in his many of his drawings that could be an angry drawing. Absolutely,
yes, exquisite
particular.
Yes.
Drawings of figures, primarily of women, very often. And he was very highly trained as a draftsman, and so he comes out of a very strict background in terms of his art education.
Would you discuss the relationship of his sculpture to his painting? We touched on that, but there are many people who feel that his sculptures are even more related to his drawings than to his
paintings. Well, I think you can see, yes, I think that is true in many ways, primarily because they're dealing with much more simplified elements in many ways. I mean, first of all, you're lacking the color. You're not dealing with the color. You're basically dealing with black and white. His charcoal drawings that are in the show, although there are abstract ones, they're more figurative, just as the sculpture on the whole is more figurative. So in a way, he seems to almost be working out the figurative or the figure in many ways in the sculpture and the drawings, less so in the paintings now. But I think the kind of graphic quality, the dramatic quality, the stark black, the figure against the white or a plain background, that's where the connection lies. And also just the kind of line, you know, as I say, that very dramatic line is not a painting.
Let's talk a little bit about his work methods in the time we have left to us in the painting. You know, what kind of materials does he use? One thing that struck me was his medium. He uses things that are normally associated with the kitchen, safflower oil and mayonnaise.
Well, don't forget, I think it's important to remember that he developed as an artist in the 20s. He came to, as I said, he came to this country in 1926 and was very poor and had to make do, like all the artists of his generation. So he learned, like the rest, to experiment and to come, you know, like Franz Klein using house paints. You know, that was partly necessity out of not having the money, but also it was appropriate in terms of the aesthetic of the work itself. And so he does experiment. He's used newspaper that comes out almost like a monotype in many ways, where he's implanted the newspaper onto the wet paint, or placed it onto the wet paint, let it stay there for a little while, and then pulled it off, so that very often there'll be little, you know, the print has stayed there to a certain extent, but it's also given a kind of texture.
Well, he's also done that with cloth, hasn't he? To erase the brushiness of the brush stroke.
So his techniques are finely tuned at this point. And again, as I say, he obviously has the confidence at this point to experiment and to be very free and to know what's going to work for him and what's not going to work for him.
Does he do preliminary sketches?
I don't know, to tell you the truth. I would imagine not. But he does do drawings, very definitely.
Well, I'm afraid we've run out of time. I would like to tell our audience that the exhibition Willem de Kooning in East Hampton will remain on view at the Guggenheim Museum until April 23rd. And I would also like to make you aware of the fact that there is a film shown every Saturday and Sunday afternoon at 2:30 p.m. and again at 3:15 p.m. It's a film called De Kooning at the Modern. It's 26 minutes long, and admission is free. And now I would like to thank Guggenheim curator Linda Shearer for having been with us this evening to talk about Willem de Kooning and his art. And to our audience, good night and thank you. Without your support, WNYC may not be able to continue operating as it has until now. If you enjoy hearing talks on art and artists, won't you help WNYC continue bringing you these programs? A tax-deductible contribution of $20 or more makes you a charter member of WNYC. Send your checks to WNYC Municipal Building, New York, New York, 10007. The check should be made payable to WNYC. Please help us bring you the programs you enjoy. That address once again is WNYC Municipal Building, New York, New York, 10007. Thank you.